Welcome to Journal Club for November 16th, 2024. I'm Malcolm Diggs. Here in the US, we've only got a few weeks left in fall. And if you live in either the Pacific Northwest or the Northeast, there's a decent chance that at some point in the last couple of months, somebody in your life has said, "Hey, do you want to go apple picking?" For those not living in either of those areas, this may seem weird. Why on earth would anyone want to go farm their own fruit? It's kind of a you-had-to-be-there thing. I didn't get it either until I visited Oregon during fall and had the whole experience. The apple cider donuts, the corn maze, the drinking. It's a whole thing. For apple growers in these regions, a daily problem is figuring out how to attract the tourist to their farm instead of the one down the road. But in the apple-growing regions in China, they're facing a totally different set of issues. China is producing nearly 40 million tons of apples a year, and there's simply not enough people to pick them. So Chinese producers are increasingly turning to apple-picking robots to do the job. These can take several forms, but the one we're looking at today is a single arm on a platform with an effector attached that can grab apples, twist them off the branch, and pluck them into the basket. Or, I guess I just have this romantic notion that it's dropping them into a basket. It's probably not a basket. I don't know what it is, actually, but that's beside the point. The point is, these arms have no intrinsic ability to see where they need to go or what they need to do. They are actuators that need to be paired with sensors, decision-making logic, and planning procedures in order to get to the point that they could identify an apple, reach out, and pick it. In today's paper, the authors are working on improving not the entire suite of software that accompanies these arms, but the specific parts that identify which apples to pick and how to go about it. You see, apples hanging from a branch aren't like widgets on an open conveyor belt. The space isn't so clean and unencumbered as that. In between the robot and the apples can be branches, leaves, and other form of occlusions. Not only does this make it difficult to see and identify which apples to pick, it makes it difficult to pick them. The arm needs to physically be able to navigate the three-dimensional space, go around the branches and past the leaves to be able to get to the apples and bring them back. Think of the author's contribution like a library or a class that fits into a larger system. This library takes in visual information, the apples hanging on a tree, runs analysis on it, and then conveys a bunch of information to the parts of the system that actually need to go pick the apple. Specifically, it conveys the following. 1. The apple location coordinates, the precise positional data for each detected apple. 2. The picking status, the classification of each apple as pickable or unpickable based on obstructions. 3. The picking direction, information on which side of the apple is accessible for picking, the top, bottom, left, or right. 4. Confidence level, confidence scores for each apple detection, indicating the accuracy of the recognition. And 5. The bounding box size, the size of the bounding box around each apple, helping determine proximity and size for picking arm adjustments. With those 5 pieces of information, the rest of the system can take over, pick the apple, and drop it wherever. We're going to look at how this part of the system was able to take images as an input and generate those 5 kinds of output. Before we jump in, one note. We're going to be talking about YOLO classifiers a lot, specifically YOLO V5. You might be saying, isn't YOLO up to version 11 right now? Why would a new paper published in late 2024 be using V5? Well, while the larger version numbers do represent later models of YOLO, it's not fair to say that each new version is better than the previous and should be used in its place. It's less like choosing a version of a web browser where newer is almost always better, and more like choosing a version of an operating system. The community, the plugins, the interoperability, the documentation, and the existing code bases and examples all matter here. And in the case of a model like YOLO, the sheer size of the model matters as well. And each release has different variants like nano, small, medium, etc., that let you pick exactly the sized model that you need for your case. I say that all to say, for these researchers, YOLO V5 made sense. For you, maybe YOLO V8 or YOLO V11 works better. There are no hard rules here. Before fine-tuning their chosen model, the authors made a number of improvements to the system. The most important were 3 major changes. To improve the bottleneck CSP module, the researchers replaced the CONV2D layer with a bottleneck module, enhancing the network's ability to capture and retain important visual details without increasing the computational load. This upgraded bottleneck CSP is able to merge richer semantic information by connecting branches and combining them through depth concatenation. This structural change helped the model more effectively extract nuanced visual characteristics, ultimately refining its object detection capability. Next, they implemented an ECA module, which is a specialized attention mechanism designed to focus on the most crucial parts of the image while disregarding less relevant details. The ECA, short for Efficient Channel Attention, uses 1D convolution to help each channel in the network learn which parts of the image are important to focus on. This feature enhances the network's performance by isolating apple-specific characteristics, allowing it to be more discerning in crowded or cluttered spaces. They also adjusted the anchor frame size, which is a parameter defining the scale at which objects are detected. By increasing the frame sizes to better align with apple targets, the model could more accurately distinguish between apples at different distances, ensuring it could prioritize those within the picking range while ignoring distant ones. The authors trained their model using a dataset specifically constructed from over 5,000 images collected from orchards, both in the field and with supplemental data via web scraping. They split this dataset into training, validation, and testing portions, using techniques like mosaic augmentation, which combines four images into one to simulate real-world variability. Training was conducted with an Intel i7 CPU and NVIDIA RTX 2060 GPU using PyTorch with a batch size of 4. The process also involved fine-tuning hyperparameters like momentum and learning rate to accelerate convergence while maintaining accuracy. For evaluation, they applied precision, recall, F1 score, and MAP, the mean average precision, to gauge the model's performance. Of these, MAP is particularly significant in object detection, as it provides a more nuanced understanding of detection quality by balancing accuracy and error rates across all detected classes. To calculate MAP, the model generates precision recall, PR curves, for each class, where precision indicates the proportion of correct detections among all detections, and recall captures how many relevant objects were detected out of all the objects. The PR curve is constructed by varying a confidence threshold, which affects whether a prediction is classified as a true or a false detection. For each threshold, the model's precision and recall values change, revealing its behavior as the confidence requirement for positive identification shifts. The area under the curve, known as AP, average precision, is calculated for each class, essentially summarizing the model's ability to maintain high precision across different recall levels. The MAP score is then derived by averaging these AP scores across all object classes. This metric is highly valued in object detection tasks because it gives a comprehensive, class-balanced measure of the model's ability to identify multiple object types accurately, even in complex, cluttered settings. Here, the MAP score of 84% suggests that the model reliably detected apples while balancing false positives and false negatives effectively. The overall results were as follows. Precision, 83.9%. Indicating a high value of correct detections among those made. Recall, 88.1%, showing the model's ability to detect most apples present. MAP, 84%, reflecting the model's class-agnostic accuracy across multiple confidence levels and thresholds. And F1 score, 85.7%, a balanced metric combining precision and recall. These metrics collectively show the model's robustness in recognizing apples in varied conditions, achieving a reliable balance between detection accuracy and minimizing both missed detections and false alarms. Overall, I'd say the research was a success. Not stellar, but good. The software was able to improve both the accuracy and efficiency of apple detection. It's not the most accurate model that's ever existed, but it's pretty good, especially considering that it's running on YOLO V5. It was able to take in images, convey the five types of information to the rest of the system with decent accuracy and speed, and I don't see any reason that it wouldn't be able to be folded into a larger system for apple picking. If you'd like to dive deeper on how exactly the authors set up their training protocol or configure their network layers, I'd encourage you to download the paper. Also, if you've never had an apple cider donut, and you are anywhere near the Pacific Northwest or the Northeast, go get one. You only have a couple of weeks left. Do what you need to do to get your hands on one of these delicacies. Not kidding, they are delicious. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.